Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration comes to us from Genesis chapter 11. Begin reading now. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. From a distance, good discipline can be confused with a bad temper. Maybe it's that mom who refuses to give her kids money for the ice cream truck. To you, it might seem like she's being cheap or even cruel in saying no. But she says no because she knows that her kids refuse to eat their dinner 4 out of the last 5 evenings. Sometimes good discipline can be confused with a bad temper. Maybe it's the dad on the video conference call shouting at his kids to quiet down or he'll come down there. Some may wonder how he could get so mad. Kids make noise, right? But his sharp response stems from a chat he's had with his kids more than a few times already that day. Sometimes good discipline can be confused for a bad temper. That isn't to say that moms and dads don't lose their patience or their temper, right? Even the most loving parents make selfish, sinful choices, but good discipline, when you're not up to speed on everything that's been going on, can be confused with a bad temper from a distance. We need to remember that as we take a look at what our Heavenly Father says and does in Genesis 11 so that we don't jump to any conclusions or make any hasty accusations against our God. Because this whole account can leave us scratching our heads, can't it? Of all the things that would make the Lord come down to earth, a civil engineering project seems like small potatoes, doesn't it? But here we are. Less than 200 years after the flood, the whole world has one language. Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, are still alive, and their great-grandkids are getting to work. Some of Noah's great-grandkids found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They didn't have any stones in that space, so they looked at what they had, clay. And with some skill and ingenuity, they cooked up some bricks. It was quite the feat. Then they cooked up something bigger. They got together and said to one another, "Come on now, let's build a city with a massive tower." And then we're told why. These people give us their dream and their nightmare, their hopes and their fears. He said, "So that we will build this city, this tower, so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Their mission was clear. So they got to work, and it seemed like it was working. They had the necessary supplies and skill. Everybody seemed to be on the same page. They were working their plan and working together, and things were working out until God made his way down to see the city and the tower that the people were building. And for reasons that are not immediately clear in verse 6, the Lord makes it clear that he's none too pleased with what they're doing. He says, "If as one people speaking the same language they begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." That's no attaboy, no thumbs up from the big guy upstairs. No, instead of coming down for some ribbon-cutting ceremony, God comes down to confuse their language so that they won't understand each other. And that seems strange to you and me, cruel even. but it's crucial we understand why. See, immediately after getting off the ark, God blessed Noah and his sons, and he told them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth." God's desire and command was that these people do the very thing that they feared, scatter over the face of the earth. So this is what the Lord made them do. We might ask ourselves, why wouldn't people want to do this? Well, consider what a city could do for them. A city with its walls could provide peace and protection. A city with its dense population could generate economic opportunity and growth that would not be possible if they were scattered over the face of the earth. A city with its great tower could create a lasting legacy for them. These people were constructing a city without God. They weren't building a church, they were building a tower, right? This city, they hoped, would give them peace, protection, prosperity, and legacy. And you don't have to be a brick baker on a plane in Shinar to understand that desire, do you? Because we all have our city projects and our tower dreams, don't we? Now, our dreams may change or shift gears at different stages in life, but they're always geared towards those things, right? Peace, protection, prosperity, legacy. Some city projects, some of our tower dreams are career-focused. The bricks that we bake are our career accomplishments, you know, the promotions and pay raises. The tower that we're seeking might be that corner office, but it's just as likely to work from home or to be your own boss. As with all these cities and towers, there's nothing intrinsically wicked with what we're doing. Right? Working hard, being rewarded, these are good things. But it doesn't take much for these goals of ours to supplant God's desires and commands, does it? In pursuing prosperity, right? Career accomplishment, our commitment to fear, love, and trust in God above all things is frequently challenged. Will we tell the truth if we think it might impact our career? Will we do what's right even if it costs us everything? See, you and I have far more control over our work schedules and locations than any generation that's come before us. Yet how many times hasn't work set the pace, the schedule, the location? And our work schedule, our work pace, our work location led us to forsake weekly worship and maybe even studying his word. This happens time and again. And if it hasn't happened to you, it isn't happening to you right now, it's likely afflicting someone that you know and love. But don't assume that because you don't have a career-focused city project tower dream in mind, that your heart isn't captivated by some project or some dream. See, there are many people that spurn career aspirations, but they're building a different tower. Maybe it's the pursuit of slow living. Maybe you desire and dream about having the time and energy to appreciate all the little things in life. The bricks that you're baking are the memories that you're making with those you love. So here's my question. Does that city make the name of the Lord known? Or do you find yourself choosing temporary peace at the expense of doing what God commands? Do you neglect the people that God has called you to serve so that you can maintain your easy, carefree pace of life? Perhaps your city plan, your tower dream, is to see the face of the earth. Again, like living slow or working hard, there's nothing sinful about traveling, right? But I want you to take a good look at how that guides your time and your future plans. Whether you're the type that prefers amusement parks or national parks, you know how much of your life that demands. Traveling takes planning and time and money, and you have to make sacrifices to make those things happen. And it's fine to make sacrifices for that. But are you only sacrificing other pleasures or hobbies? Or are you sacrificing opportunities to be a key driver in the kingdom of God? I'm going to focus on the national park people for a little bit for two reasons. First, this affects my heart. I enjoy being out in nature. I know this temptation well. And secondly, I've never heard anyone claim that they feel closer to God as they're waiting in line for Splash Mountain. But I have heard people say that when they spend time in the mountains the Lord has made or by the lakes that he has designed. So if we spend most weekends away from it all, we need to ask ourselves, how are we encouraging one another as we see Judgment Day approaching? How can anyone rebuke, encourage, train, teach us about God's righteousness if we never show up at God's house, the Lord's gym? See, the Lord knows how our city plans and our tower dreams captivate our hearts and minds. The Lord also knows that even if everything works out according to our plans, we're still going to fall short of securing lasting peace, protection, prosperity, and legacy. That's because with man, this is impossible. So the Lord asks us, what good is it for a man to achieve his career dreams if in doing so he mortgages his eternal future? What good is it for a family to live at their own pace if each and every step leads us further and further away from God's path? What good is it for a woman to see the whole world and yet lose her soul? The Lord understands that even when we make careful, calculated plans, even when we have big, impressive dreams, we don't pursue the things that are most necessary. This is why the Lord came down. God came down because he understood that if we were left to proceed with our city plans, our tower dreams, we would be totally unprepared for Judgment Day. We would be like teenage boys who spent the whole night playing video games instead of studying for their final exam. Time and again, we make choices that fritter away crucial moments on fleeting pleasures instead of storing up riches for us in heaven. So in this case, when the Lord came down to Babel, he confused their language. The thing they dreaded most is what God gave them. They were scattered, but they were not struck down. God did not send a flood to cleanse this particular plain. Instead, he scattered them so that his plan could be accomplished. See, the Lord thwarts man's purposes, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. You see, God had planned to come down another time. When that set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. The Lord came down to earth to win peace, protection, and prosperity for sinners like us. Peace with God, knowing that our sins had been atoned for, protection under his wings, confidence that God is our refuge and our strength, and a kind of prosperity that surpasses our wildest dreams. God assures us that when we remain in him, in his word and sacraments, we will produce much fruit. God assures us that as his children, we will have everything we need for body and life. We know this because Jesus came down, not to build a tower like ours, but to seek first the kingdom of God, to be lifted up on the cross for our selfishness, our short-sightedness, our foolishness, all our sins. This is our lasting legacy. Christ crucified is our lasting legacy. His death is our death. His resurrection, our hope and joy. Jesus is the name that we cling to and make known. He has given us his own name when he claimed us in the waters of baptism. He has given us his own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins in the Lord's Supper. God has come down not to judge and to punish, but to redeem and save. Because God has come down, we are not confused about who we are or what we're here for. We know that we're but strangers here. This world is not our enduring city. Yes, there are things that we can and should enjoy here. We should work hard. We should make good memories. We should enjoy the beauty of God's creation, but we shouldn't let any of those blessings cause us to lose sight of the great city that is to come, because we look forward to that city whose architect and builder is God. That was the legacy that Peter and the apostles proclaimed on that first Pentecost. That the Lord had come down, not to strike sinners down, but to save sinners. And even now, when the Lord disciplines us, we know that he still loves us. Because that is how a loving father treats their children. And the Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, has a long-established legacy of mercy. And he is building plans too. Not a city or a tower, but a spiritual house. See, first the Lord laid his chosen and precious cornerstone in Zion, Jesus. The men who considered themselves builders, the chief priests and teachers of the law, rejected Jesus. They had other plans they thought were more important and crucial, so they crucified him. But God raised Jesus from the dead and assures us that the one who trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame. And then on that first Pentecost, God began assembling living stones from places like Mesopotamia, Asia, Egypt, and Rome into his spiritual house. Living stones out of dead sinners. God continues to do the same thing for us here in Goodyear, in Phoenix's West Valley, bringing us alongside one another. When you look at those you share a faith with, I want you to see someone who has been hand-hewn by the Lord of mercy himself. Someone God has called, carried, set next to you so that you can stand next to them and support them day after day. God has come down, and he has kindled faith in our hearts. We are his special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of confusion and the darkness of sin into his wonderful light. And even now, we can see the city that he has designed and built for us from a distance. We know that day after day, step after step, we are getting closer and closer to the place that God has prepared for us. May God continue to strengthen us, to guide us, to give us clarity through his word and sacraments, so that we recognize the city plans and tower dreams that so easily distract us, and rather seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and everything that we need will be added to us as well. Amen.